The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
A day after a mob of pro-Trump supporters stormed the U.S. Capitol building, the Lakers hosted the Spurs, where LeBron James was asked about his thoughts on what happened.
We live in two Americas, and that was prime example of that yesterday. And if you don't understand that or don't see that after seeing what you saw yesterday, then you really need to take a step back, not even just one step, maybe four or five or even 10 steps backwards, and ask yourself, how do you want your kids, or how do you want, your grandkids? How do we want America to be viewed as? How do we want to live, in this beautiful country? Because yesterday was not it.
Yesterday, I think the big picture for me was how it just laid bare the blatant, dangerous, debilitating racism that is our country's sin and has plagued us all these years. There can't be a better obvious example of a system that is not fair as far as justice and equal rights are concerned and protection of citizens. It was just right in your face. And anybody that can ignore that is a shameful individual, in my opinion.
All right, Greg Popovich with the high praise of LeBron James. Stephen A., I want to start with you here. What do you think the significance of LeBron's comments speaking to the two Americas we're facing?
Well, I think that it's incredibly significant because he's accurate. He's on point, and he's somebody that continues to illuminate and illustrate why he's the great iconic figure that he is, because not only is he the best basketball player in the world, but to be socially conscientious, believe it or not, when he doesn't have to be, it just speaks to his character as a man, to his love for his community. And to some degree, his love for this nation and what it's supposed to be. But he's not the only one. We can't say enough about Greg Popovich, who's been speaking about these issues for a long time. The fact that he is so outspoken and has been so outspoken and so eloquent and articulate in what he has had to say, our gratitude to him should know no limits. The same can be said for Steve Kerr. And we keep forgetting that when we talk about violence and we talk about things of a reprehensible nature in terms of people's behavior, particularly as it pertains to politics, let's remember that in the 80s, Steve Kerr, while at the University of Arizona, lost his father violently in Beirut. So we can't forget that. Scott Brooks being the head coach for the Wizards right there in the nation's capital, speaking so eloquently as he did the other day. Having the relationships throughout the league that he has. He's a good man. And to hear him speak the way that he did was a great thing. The athletes that have spoken out, the Jaylen Browns, who just continues to be more and more impressive every day, the Jason Tatum, who's just 22 years of age. Jaylen Brown is 24 years of age. Russell Westbrook has been in this league for a long time, fighting the fight that he's fought in terms of saying what needs to be said. The list goes on and on. LeBron being the leader that he is, and it trickling down to all of his brethren, all of his contemporaries within the National Basketball Association, all the way up to the top with Commissioner Adam Silver being as open and receptive and as fair-minded and as decent as he is. It makes me very, very proud to be somebody that's been associated with the NBA for the last quarter century covering this league. The people in it, I've always known that they were good people. I've always known they were socially conscientious individuals. But to see them step up at a moment like this, where they're willing to speak out and speak truth to power and be unapologetic about it and let the world know that they're not about to fade into the twilight, that they're going to be here to remind this nation of what we're supposed to be, not just what we are, but what we're supposed to be and the ideals and the standards that we're supposed to live up to, and to remind this country that we repeatedly come up short time and time and time again, and the nonsense has to stop, I think is incredibly important. And the fact that it's coming from all different stratospheres, it's coming from a player, it's coming from coaches, it's coming from GMs. Let's not forget owners. Mark Cuban has been incredibly supportive since all this whole social justice stuff came to light since May, since the George Floyd killing and what have you. Mark Cuban isn't the only one. There's a plethora of owners who have done the same and have made incredible contributions to causes that would help uplift disenfranchised communities throughout this nation. Again, it makes me incredibly proud to be associated with the National Basketball Association. I think other leagues can do a great, great service to themselves to follow the lead that the NBA has provided. And I'm not saying they haven't. I'm just saying that they need to continue to do so. And I think that as long as that takes place, then we'll go a long way towards reminding America why we're the greatest country on God's green earth, why we should be. And if we want to remain that way and take a instead of taking steps back, like we did a couple of days ago, then it would behoove us to remind ourselves of the ideals that we live on and we supposedly stand by, and we live up to them and measure up the way these individuals in this league that is the National Basketball Association clearly has done.
LeBron James is absolutely right, and Popovich was right to mention LeBron. Of course, we live in two separate Americas. Of course, that's the case. And this always comes up or seems to come up, especially with outspoken athletes in recent years, at moments when, for example, armed insurrectionists riot in the state capitol building. By the way, a member of law enforcement was murdered during this riot. And look at the consequences. Look what happened. How are they even able to get into the building, right? LeBron James notices this. And he and many people, including Doc Rivers and Russell Westbrook, and maybe, imagine if they were black. What would have happened? We live in two separate Americas, and that's been the case since Africans were brought here in chains, in slavery. And by the way, Stephen A., the two separate Americas at this point, I mean, it's economic, obviously. I mean, look where people live. Look how much money they earn. Look how they vote. It's two separate Americas. But really, when you go back, right, post-slavery, there was the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, equal protection under the law. And people have ever heard of Plessy versus Ferguson. What does this mean? That meant that the Supreme Court said, no, you can be separated. It's separate but equal. That doesn't violate equal protection under the law after slavery. And that held for a very, very long time. This is the 19th century. And it wasn't until Brown versus the Board of Education in the 1950s, 1954, that they finally said, okay, fine, this is a farce. Of course, black kids can go to public school with white kids. Yes, they can, because this is not equal protection under the law. You have two separate Americas. And what people notice is there are still many ways in which they are separate. Legally, there are greater and greater protections, but there are still remnants of our original sin that are still extant. And socially, there are two different Americas, the social milieu in which we operate. It's not just a few bad seeds in law enforcement saying, hey, let's get the black people. It's the very idea that when people see white people coming, they react differently. They value those lives. And when they see black people coming, let's just put it this way. We've always had a very high tolerance in this country for dead black people. LeBron James is absolutely correct. Recent events highlight this. He's right to point it out. And as you mentioned, Stephen A., it's important not just that this is left to African-American people in positions of celebrity, or in this case, athletes, LeBron James, for example, to point it out, but that people of socially conscious people, people like Greg Popovich and Steve Kerr, who you just mentioned, also back them up and themselves take the lead on it. And so, by the way, the NBA and the WNBA has been leading on this issue from day one, and I applaud LeBron James and Greg Popovich.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I'm only watching for baby Stephen A., I'll be honest. The Rams head to Seattle on Saturday with Jared Goff's status for the playoff game still up in the air. But on the other side of the ball, Russell Wilson and the Seahawks will be facing the top scoring defense and total defense in the league this season. Max, are the Rams bigger Super Bowl contenders, or would you say it's Russ and the Seahawks?
The Rams are the bigger Super Bowl contenders than the Seahawks. But get this, Stephen A., they got to get past the Seahawks, and I don't know if they will because Goff has still not, last I checked, been named the starter. McVay still won't say, yeah, it's Goff, not Wolford, right? Because Goff has been hurt, and that makes a big difference. Whatever you want to say about Goff, he has been in a Super Bowl. He didn't do real well in the Super Bowl, but there weren't a lot of points scored in that Super Bowl period. It was the lowest scoring Super Bowl in the history of the NFL. But when you look at the Rams this year, was that defense any better than this one? I wouldn't say so. The offense was a little more dynamic, but this Rams offense can score. The Rams have the look of a team, that the kind of team that makes runs in the playoffs. The Seahawks, to me, don't. And by the way, the Seahawks, when they traded for Jamal Adams, they were my pick preseason. But it hasn't panned out that way. Russell Wilson has looked faded in the second half compared to the first half of the season. And the Rams, it's not just that they can score points, they can stop you from scoring. They have some of the best defenders in the league, including Aaron Donald on that side of the ball, and have, in terms of all the teams with upside on the defense, like who's capable of playing at the very highest level, I'd say the Los Angeles Rams. I think they're the bigger Super Bowl threat.
I disagree. I say no respectfully because I look at the Seattle Seahawks and they have Russell Wilson and the Rams don't. And with Jared Goff out, you know, because of his thumb injury, we don't know what they're going to do, which is ideal for the Seahawks because now, first of all, you might not have had him to worry about much anyway because he wasn't having the greatest year in the world. But secondly, and more importantly, if he ends up out of this game, which is going to be the case, then guess what? You're the 31st ranked defense against the pass in the National Football League for the Seattle Seahawks, and suddenly you don't really have a passing game to be worried about. And as a result, I think that bodes very, very well for them. So you've got Russell Wilson, who's a Super Bowl champion, who's made an appearance in two Super Bowls, who's got significant playoff experience, and we know he's a winner. He's the second leading rusher on the team with over 500 yards rushing. He's completed 68% of his passes this year. He's thrown 40 touchdowns and just 13 interceptions, and he's got two wideouts that have recorded over 1,000 yards this season, and Tyler Lockett, and of course the stud that is DK Metcalf. So when I look at it from that perspective, and we're talking about who's a legitimate Super Bowl contender, I give all the props in the world to the Rams defense led by Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, and the crew. But you got to be able to put up points, and I'm not sure the Rams are going to be able to do that, particularly without Jared Goff. When we talk about a Super Bowl contender, I'm going to roll with Russell Wilson before I roll with anybody on the Rams any day of the week.
Well, I'm assuming that he had, that Goff would have enough time to get back. You know, if you say, who do you like in this game? Okay, I get the Seahawks, given where the Rams are now. That's why I think they have to get over this hurdle. But if they do, like whichever team won this game, Seattle or L.A., if it's Seattle, I don't like their chances as much as if it's L.A. Getting past Seattle with a hurt Goff is a different story.
Yeah, I don't feel that way because I don't feel the same way about the Rams' offense.
Yeah, but speaking of their defense, Stephen A., on a per-play defense, they've had the best defense in the 2015 Broncos, who ended up winning the Super Bowl.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Deshaun Watson and many Texans fans have had something in common. They found out about the team's new GM hire via social media. According to our Adam Schefter, Watson was bothered by the team not considering or consulting him in the process of hiring former Pats executive Nick Caserio. This comes on the heels of the team trading away DeAndre Hopkins last year without consulting their franchise quarterback. Dan Orlovsky had this to say about Deshaun, who had the best season of his career this year on NFL Live yesterday.
Deshaun Watson is so good that you can win multiple Super Bowls with. Get out. Houston can't do it for you. Leave.
Our next guest knows what it's like to win Super Bowls. He's won two of them, played in three. Rob Ninkovich, it's been a long time. Good to see you, sir. I will get to you in just a moment. We got a bunch of NFL topics to tackle here. Stephen A., you're up first. How should Deshaun feel about this with the Texans? First DeAndre Hopkins, and now GM finding out on social media?
Well, I completely agree with Dan Orlovsky. He should want out. He should want to get the hell out because they haven't been listening to him. They're clearly not listening to him now. You know, you got to remember, it wasn't just that DeAndre Hopkins is an all-world receiver. I mean, the dude went to Clemson just like, you know, Deshaun Watson did. They were friends, the alumni members, for crying out loud. They've been tight for years. It wasn't just a guy that he threw the football to and they had some good chemistry or connection. They were boys. And you got rid of him. You're Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien should have been gone years ago. And then you finally come to your senses and you get rid of Bill O'Brien in Houston. But then here you are. This guy's got a slew of candidates he wants to consider. He wants you to consider. And you completely ignore him. This has shut up and dribble written all over it. I know we're talking football instead of basketball, but metaphorically speaking, we understand what that means. You know, when LeBron James and others were told to essentially to do so, shut up and dribble. You know, in other words, play the games, entertain us, and go to hell home and be happy with what you have. That's basically what they told Deshaun Watson. Now, in Houston's case, They sort of have an argument to get away with it because we just saw Deshaun Watson crying months ago with affection and love in his heart for the organization, for the faith that they showed in him with the huge deal that they gave him. But the flip side to it is that they're saying, now that we did all of that for you, we got this. And to me, I've always been of this mindset. You know what?
If you're not the boss, you don't get to make the decisions. That is true. But the stars that you're asked, that you ask to go out there and perform for you, whether it's day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, whatever the case may be, when they deliver those goods and you ignore what ultimately elevates their level of happiness or at least makes them feel good about what they're doing, then essentially as an executive, you're ultimately hurting yourself, probably sooner than later, because what you've done is you've zapped the euphoria, the zest, the inspirational elements from them. And you've stripped them of the desire to go out there and perform to the best of their ability. It's not that they do it on purpose. It's not that they would ever conscientiously, Rob, sit up there and say, well, I'm not going to do my job, or I'm not going to play, or whatever the case may be. But when frustration is allowed to not only seep inside of you, but stay there, and it's unaddressed by executives in positions of power to make change, then ultimately you lose faith in everybody. And I think that's what potentially is going to end up happening with Deshaun Watson in Houston, because look, he knows they're on a path to nowhere and he's not going to be happy about that.
First of all, I disagree with you about shut up and dribble, because the NFL is not the NBA. The NBA is a superstar league. That's really what determines whether or not you win, and the NFL isn't. But I will say this, you're right about, like, it really depends on how you perceive Deshaun Watson, whether or not he should have input. If he should have input, it's because he is a special player. And so do you believe that's true, yes or no? Oh, it's obviously true. You have to be blind not to see that's true. I don't give them any credit for giving them that contract. Zero. Texans get absolutely no credit because every single team in the league that had Deshaun Watson would give him that same deal. He's great. In fact, when you talk about what you could get for someone in a trade, Mahomes is in a class by himself. Maybe Deshaun Watson is second there, right? Because Aaron Rodgers is much older. Even Russell Wilson's significantly older. And I don't even know that Russell Wilson is better at this moment. Maybe a touch, maybe. But it's close already. Again, Deshaun Watson, 7 years younger. Now, he's not in his rookie deal anymore. So someone with huge upside like Justin Herbert, you can start to look at someone like Josh Allen. Maybe they have an argument. But in my opinion, the second most valuable player in a trade outside of Mahomes in the NFL is Deshaun Watson. You should probably consult with him. You don't have to take his advice, but at least give him the respect as a superstar player entering his prime, as the franchise quarterback you just paid. Give him the respect of soliciting his opinion, at least. You don't get rid of, as you said, his boy and one of the best receivers in the league and with the best set of hands arguably ever, like on Chris Carter and Larry Fitzgerald and DeAndre Hopkins, and it's his boy, and you just trade him and he finds out about it on social media or wherever. Like, could you imagine someone coming into Joe Montana and saying, Joe, I know you and Jerry Rice have this thing going on, or worse, Joe Montana finds out about it on the news. Oh, they traded Jerry Rice. Would never happen. So he has been disrespected. The team was awful this year. The offensive line was supposed to be good. I know they had injuries late, but they were not playing up to what people were expecting anyway. They didn't have the receiving corps because they traded Hopkins in a stupid trade. Should Deshaun want out? Yeah, he should. He should want out. The problem is hard to move him, not because no one would want him, but because how do you get equal value back?
Look, this isn't the first time, and it won't be the last time a NFL player was lied to or said, hey, you'll have input on these decisions. Because at the end of the day, the owners, these billionaire owners are billionaires for a reason, and they're not going to take in any input from a player because the players are just renting the numbers. And I get it. When you're a star player, you help create a lot of income for these teams. But they understand that, what, 5-10 years, you're not going to be there. They're just going to continue. The train's going to keep moving. And Deshaun, look, they traded away Hopkins. Billy O took a lot of heat for trading away Hopkins. How much heat would a new GM take if you trade away Deshaun Watson? You think the fan base or anybody who is a Texans fan would think that that would be a good move to help the team move forward in a winning direction? There's no way. They're not going to trade him, first of all. So he has the contract in place. He could be upset, but there's plenty of guys in the NFL that are upset with their situation. And the one thing I would say, the difference between the NBA and the NFL The NBA, you see players all the time. They come out and they say, hey, look, I'm going here. I want to go there. And it happens. They figure it out and they build teams. The NFL, you don't see that happen. You see guys having to deal with the situations that they're in because of the way the CBA is and the way contracts work. The owners know that they have the upper hand. And the owners, honestly, they don't care. They don't care what the players' inputs are. They don't care. They're just like, yeah, I'm going to continue to make hundreds of millions of dollars. I'll still make my decisions on the GM, the head coach. And if it doesn't work out, the guaranteed money that we have going to those guys, whatever, it's chump change. So, I mean, that's why you see good teams continually be good and bad teams are continually bad, because it starts at the top and it works its way down. So I understand why Deshaun would be upset and he would want to go somewhere else or want to have another place to be where he feels like he has a chance or an opportunity to give his input. Mm-hmm. But the Texans, I mean, why would you give him away? Why would you even trade him away? Because even a first round pick, you get the number one overall pick. It's not better than Deshaun Watson.
Well, Rob, understand what we're saying here. We're not saying they're going to trade Deshaun Watson. We know better. What we're saying is that he should make it clear he wants out. Because the one thing that those owners are fixated on, which you would know a hell of a lot better than me, is control. They like control. Their executives like control. And when somebody has the belief, or somebody really generates the belief that they're going to be a disruptive force, then you do see movement take place in the National Football League. Bill O'Brien used that as an excuse as to why he unloaded DeAndre Hopkins. We've seen it happen in other cases as well. I'm not saying that you engage in belligerence and immaturity and conduct yourself in a certain way. But what I'm saying is, if you're Deshaun Watson, you have the city of Houston behind you, and you wear on your sleeve that this is some place you do not want to be, and this is why, they're going to have to do something about that. And it might not be moving you, but it might be appeasing you by making sure that if you don't have some say, then at least be mindful of what you want and make your decisions based on those things to some degree anyway, because if this is the talent that is winning on the field for you, he might have an idea what it takes to get it done.
That is a good point, Stephen A. When you say it's shut up and dribble, I think that's a little hyperbolic, but I understand the root of it. Underneath, Rob, it's which is the owners are like, we have control. And they want to send the players that message. When you intentionally snub a guy like Deshaun, it's not simply like, well, we don't really need his input. It's not going to make a difference. You're sending a message, players, stay in your place. That, I agree, is kind of related to the shut up and dribble stuff, Stephen A., in the NFL especially. We've seen teams time and again, even collective bargaining situations with free agents, whatever it is, they want to send that message. The teams, we are in control, and not consulting Deshaun before you trade DeAndre Hopkins or interview GMs or anything like that. Yes, I think they're sending that message. And for that reason, Rob, I think Stephen A. is right about this. What do the players have at their disposal to push back? To say, hold on a second. Yep, I get your message. Now get my message. You may have more control than me, but I'm not totally powerless. You want an unhappy franchise quarterback who everyone universally acknowledges is elite and great and can win Super Bowls? And I think most of us would say probably the second guy you'd want building a team behind Patrick Mahomes in the world. He's got to push back a little bit. He's like, making his feelings known is the way to do that.
Well, potentially, maybe that's the reason why ownership came out and made a quick statement that Josh McDaniels wasn't going to be the next head coach, because they knew that this created a problem. So they went to Deshaun and said, look, okay, our bad. Sorry, we went out and did this behind your back and we didn't let you know. Maybe you'll have some more input, or hopefully you'll have input on the head coaching decision. But, you know, at the end of the day, the NFL is a completely separate thing. There's not even guaranteed contracts. You look at every other sport, there's guaranteed money. The owners have the upper hand no matter what. They understand it, and they flex their muscles at times. Yes, they do. I mean, look at any CBA where they go and they negotiate the next collective bargaining agreement. They flex their muscles, and the players pretty much have to, okay, yeah, you guys have the power on this. But at the end of the day, if you want to use the star talent that you have and the contract that you have in place for that star player to create revenue and to bring in victories, to fill a stadium up, you need Deshaun Watson on your team. The Texans need Deshaun Watson. if you have a disgruntled Deshaun Watson, it doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help the ownership make at the end of the day what they want to make, and that's continue to rake in the money. So moving forward, hopefully they'll be able to mend this relationship to where they don't have to come to that point of this isn't going to work for us in the organization.
Yeah, I mean, two things that are key in relationships, right? Communication and trust, and it looks like wasn't the best communication there. Let's keep it moving and get to your former quarterback, Rob, and that would be one Tom Brady, who will be in action this weekend. Tom leading the Bucs to Washington in his 12th straight postseason, but it'll be his first wild card game played on the road, with the Bucs currently favored by 8 against the Washington football team. Bucs head coach Bruce Arians spoke on what success means.
We'll see. You know, see how far this goes. It won't be if we don't win this one, that's for sure. And really, it's not going to be if we don't put rings on our fingers, because once you're in the tournament, that's what you're playing for. And so we did enough to get here, and now it will not be satisfying unless we finish it.
Max, Bruce not playing around there. It's like Super Bowl or bust. He pretty much said that. How much of Brady's legacy is on the line? You know, obviously playing Washington now, and it's his first time without Bill Belichick.
A lot of the legacy is on the line. This is a big legacy game, actually. And let me explain what I mean. It sounds ridiculous. Six-time Super Bowl champion, the greatest of all time, still balling at 43. It's unheard of at the position, right? Defied my Cliff prediction now by 2-3 years, and he had an excellent season. I got to tell you what I'm seeing. He was not just competent with his weapons, he was excellent. That's true. And what were the what is a success this season for Tom Brady? Let's start there. You got to make the playoffs with a team that went 7-9 with a quarterback that gave the other team 112 points 2 years ago, and Jameis Winston threw 30 interceptions. You bring in even a competent quarterback, you got to win 9 games. The over-under was 9.5. I took the over. I figured he'd win 10. He won 11. And the team is peaking right now. I would say you got to win a playoff game. If you win a playoff game, you could say, okay, you can't really be criticized. What would be a success? You get to the AFC Championship game. I know they want to win a Super Bowl, but realistically, you just got to the team. COVID, you can't practice all this. You get to the AFC Championship game. NFC, Tom Brady, NFC Championship game. That's a hell of a season. I have to say, why is it a legacy thing? Why? Against the Washington football team? Because the greatest debate in sports in the 21st century, remember, the Patriots start basically the first 20 years of the 21st century. The greatest debate in sports, is it more Belichick or Brady? I mean, it's right there with, like, who do you like, LeBron or Michael Jordan? Because the new generation's deluded into thinking LeBron's better than Jordan. But, like, I would say it's number one. Was it more Belichick? Or was it more Brady? And a lot of that is what this is about, guys, from both guys. No one can tell me otherwise. Of course they have egos, huge egos. That's why they're the greatest who ever did it, each of them. And Belichick, a coach, can keep coaching. Brady's window is limited here. So is he going to do a Joe Montana? When we talk about Joe Montana, really his system quarterback, Bill Walsh, right? What happened when Montana left the Niners because they had Steve Young? He went to the AFC Championship game with the Chiefs. What's Tom Brady going to do without Belichick? Lose in his first playoff game to a 7-9 team that was lucky to be 7-9? If Doug Peterson doesn't go for it on fourth and doesn't yank Jalen Hurts, that's a 6-win team probably. They're not even in the playoffs. You're going to lose to a 7-9 team without Belichick? That's not good for Brady's legacy. And people will look at this evidence now and say, it's more Belichick. That's what these guys are doing right now. And absolutely, it will affect his legacy.
I disagree. And look, I mean, you could say, yeah, well, you're disagreeing because you played with him for a long time and you have a couple Super Bowl rings. But look, he's 43 years old. He threw for 40 touchdowns, over 100 QBR this season, brought the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to the playoffs. They haven't been there in I don't know how many years, a long time. So when
Since
you look at what he's been able to do at 2007, there you go. I was my second year in the NFL. So that's a long time ago. When I think back on his legacy, you think back on these 6 Super Bowl rings, the 9 appearances that he has, the ultimate goal of being in the tournament. And Bruce Arians is right. When you get into the tournament, you want a Super Bowl ring. That's all you want. You play the game to win Super Bowls. It's not to get to an AFC championship or, you know, look, my AFC championship ring, I don't even know where it's at. I think I gave it to somebody. I don't even have it. So At the end of the day, it's about winning Super Bowls. Tom's legacy is cemented in Super Bowl wins. He has that. Has he, in 07, they should have won that one. Yeah, let that one go. 2012, I was in that one. We let that one go. So he could have more. But at the end of the day, you look at his legacy is what it is on the football field. Tampa, he's done a great job in Tampa for coming in at 43 years old, 40 touchdown passes, 4,600 yards, whatever. I mean, come on. Like, he's done a great job this season. Now, Washington, I think they're going to steamroll Washington. They're going to steamroll Washington. They're going to beat up Washington. If they don't win and something happens and Tom, you know, gets hit a million times and he's not able to complete a pass, will people say, well, it's not the same without Bill Belichick? Sure. But his legacy, I don't think his legacy is affected at all.
Well, see, the thing for me is I'm not going to lie, and I'll confess on national television, I didn't hear a word of Max's argument. I paid absolutely no attention to it because it's not worthy of any attention. And the reason why it's not worthy of any attention is because Max saw how rapidly he just skated over Tom Brady. My prediction about him, I was off by 2 or 3 years. Notice how he just slid by that. Didn't even have the decency to pause
Brought
and say oops or whoops. You know what I'm saying? They didn't even have the decency to do that. He just went. I mean, he was faster. I mean, you remember Road Runner on the cartoons from many, many years ago? Max was faster than that, skipping over that Tom Brady element. He didn't even take the time to just slow down, Molly, and pause and go like this. I told the world this man was on a cliff and then it was a ravine, but at age 43, 40 touchdowns, just 12 interceptions, didn't even have the decency to stop and say, whoops, oops, didn't even do that like he did with Kawhi Leonard. He just went right through
it up.
In the end, here's it. Listen, I know you brought it up, but like I said, you brought it up quickly. I didn't say you ignored it. I said you went through it quickly instead
slowly.
Of pausing. In the end, what it comes down to is this, okay? This has no effect on Tom Brady's legacy. Ain't nobody going to think about Tom Brady's legacy based off of this game. Tom Brady's legacy is already cemented. It is untouchable. 6 Super Bowl titles, 9 Super Bowl appearances in his first 18, 19 years in his career. It's a wrap, okay? Remember how awful Peyton Manning looked his last year when they won the Super Bowl in Denver, and it was because of Von Miller and that defense, not him? We don't remember that. We remember he's got 2 rings, though. Eli Manning, he's got the 2 Super Bowl rings, okay? That beautiful pass to Mario Manningham, the other one to David Tyree. We know that he's a 2-time Super Bowl champion. You know what we're going to be saying about Tom Brady when it's all over? 6-time Super Bowl champion, unless there's a 7th coming. That's what we're going to talk about. He'll take hits
but
immediately
argue,
over the next week or so if they lose this game. But legacy is the operative word here. And there is nothing that can happen to Tom Brady that is going to touch his legacy. It is cement. It's done.
I understand why you both would feel that way. There's nothing taking away the 6 Super Bowl championships, by the way, in 9 appearances. And each loss was razor thin. There's nothing going to take that away. But when you're evaluating the greatest of all time, you're comparing him not only to his contemporaries, but to the greatest who came before him and the greatest who will come, the standards are higher. And you start to parse stuff and look for things. So,
are you
for
sure?
Example, had Montana fallen flat on his face in Kansas City, people would still be talking about, because they used to do it a lot then. Look, if Dan Marino was with the 49ers, he'd have had all those Super Bowl rings. Montana was lucky to be with Bill Walsh in that situation. But then when he was in another situation, he showed, no, this is Joe Montana. He's got it. He can lead a team, not back all the way to the promised land, at his age, but to the AFC Championship game. The debate is Belichick or Brady. By the way, Brady looks pretty good right now. Belichick didn't get to the playoffs. He won 7 games with nothing on the team. But he didn't get to the
playoffs.
And
what are we saying about Belichick?
And now we're looking to...
And what are we saying about Belichick?
And now we're... Well, presumably, Belichick has a larger window still in order to get stuff done. We're saying, nice job, 7 wins with no talent on the team. And, right. But if you would have won 2 games this year, we'd be saying different things. If Tom Brady was playing a powerhouse team, you're right. It wouldn't be... He's playing a 7-win team. He's playing the worst team in the playoffs. He's playing a team with an injured old quarterback whose franchise young quarterback is already off the team. Like, they're in disarray on that side of the ball.
Do we get a chance to respond to this?
Sure, they have a defense. They were lucky to win six games. You can't lose to that team first round of the playoffs.
Max, you have a point. You'd have a point if Tom Brady departed from Bill Belichick and went to Tampa and went 2-14. You'd have an argument if he went 5-11 and stunk up the joint. But at 43 years of age, playing all 16 games, completing better than 65% of his passes, throwing 40 touchdowns, and succeeding a quarterback who threw 30 interceptions the year before and dwindling that down to 12, you can crucify him for losing the game. But you can't touch his legacy because at age 43, even you confess, going into this game against Washington, I was off by 3 years. I mean, I was wrong. One game doesn't change that. Not the legacy question.
I'm going to add to this. I played against Peyton Manning his last season. I played against the year that he did ride off into the sunset and won a Super Bowl. But he was led by a defense in Denver that was incredible. And he literally couldn't throw the ball 25 yards, 30 yards downfield. When we played against him, we actually said, okay, let him throw the ball into the wind because we don't think he can push the ball down the field. And he couldn't do it. Tom Brady at 43 can still throw the ball 55 yards perfectly into the basket. And we're seeing things that are being done by Tom at 43 that no other quarterback has ever done. Not Joe Montana. Nobody. So he's surpassed that 3-year window of falling off the cliff.
That's why he's got to win, Rob.
Because he's already won the cliff.
None of us are predicting he's going to lose.
I was expecting Tom Brady to be that Peyton Manning you talked about. I didn't think he'd be incompetent at quarterback. I thought he could lead even a playoff team, but he wouldn't be because of him anymore. It's because he had a lot of wisdom and leadership, but he wouldn't have the arm. But he still has the arm. He can still throw the ball. He has every weapon in the world. He has a defense. He has a coach. He's a massive favorite. Of course he's got to win.
It's Friday. Can we get a oops or a whoops since it's 3 years? Can we do that, Mac? Can we get a whoops or an oops? Can we do that, man? It's Friday, bro. We not back tomorrow. They'll forget about Monday. Can you give us that going into this Friday, Max? Can you give us a whoops or an oops? Can you do that? Give it up, Max.
I will say this. I already said that. I already said whoops about LeBron James still being the best player in the world. I already said whoops about the cliff prediction, and you want me to sit here and say whoops again about Tom Brady defying that prediction by 2 or 3 years and still looking excellent?
Whoops, Max. Not your back, your chest. Say it with your chest. Not the back, Max. Not the back.
Just say whoops.
That's all I got. That's all I got. And it was a ravine. It just turns out the ravine is heading up, not down.
Molly, you let him off the hook, Molly. You let him off the hook, Molly.
Oh, my goodness.
He's cemented his legacy.
All over him. You guys had it handled. Oh, my goodness. All right.
Yeah,
six playoff games this weekend, fellas. I didn't feel pity. I just let it happen. I just enjoyed it. I just need a snack. All right. Monday, I'll see you guys. These playoff games. Rob, appreciate you. We'll talk to you soon. Bye, Max. Bye, Stephen A.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.